Morning.
Good morning.
Are y'all ready to worship this morning?
Yes.
So today's song is Great is Thy Faithfulness. And I chose this song because from the passage we see two examples of the faithlessness of the disciples. But in the end, he is always faithful. And he never changes.
Never.
So let's stand and proclaim God's faithfulness.
Great is thy faithfulness, O God my Father.
Chapter 13. Remembering that this is Thursday evening, you're going to see a lot of words in red in chapters 13 through 17. It's all the same evening. It's the final words of Jesus to his disciples. In less than 24 hours, he will be hanging on a cross. It's So it's down to the wire for Jesus, and he's got to prepare the disciples. So let's look at verse number 1, chapter 13. Now before the Passover feast, Jesus knew that his hour had come, and it was time for him to leave this world and return to the Father. Having greatly loved his own who were in the world, he loved them and continuously loves them with perfect love to the end, eternally. And that includes the one who will betray him, the one who will deny him, and all of them who will desert him for a time. And it was during supper when the devil had already put the thought of betraying Jesus into the heart of Judas Iscariot, Simon's son. It was during the same supper that Jesus, who was about to do his greatest work, knowing that the Father had put everything, all authority, into his hands, and knowing that he had come from God and was now returning to God, got up from the supper, took off his outer robe, taking a servant's towel, he tied it around his waist. As I was reading that, I thought that would be like equivalent of the Queen of England cleaning toilets at Buckingham Palace. I just can't even imagine. Verse 5, then Jesus poured water into the basin and began washing the disciples' feet and wiping them with a towel, which was tied around his waist. And remember last week we saw Mary washing Jesus' feet in preparation for his burial. And now Jesus is washing the disciples' feet in preparation for their ministry. Verse 6, when he came to Simon Peter, he said to him, Lord, are you going to wash my feet? Jesus replied to him, you do not realize now what I'm doing, but you will fully understand it later. Peter said to him, you'll never wash my feet. It takes humility to let someone serve you, doesn't it? It's not just the humility of someone going lower than we think they should go. It also takes humility to allow someone to serve us. And I struggle with that myself. So I get Peter here. Jesus answered, unless I wash you, you have no part with me. And I thought, wow, you know, no part with me? This is Peter, who just spent 3.5 years ministering with Jesus and preaching the kingdom and healing the sick and casting out demons and seeing Jesus transformed and Moses and Elijah too. I mean, for goodness sake, this is Peter who walked on water. He has no part with him? Nope. Because none of it matters outside of Jesus, who he is and what he does, and we need cleansing. So Simon Peter said to him, Lord, in that case, wash not only my feet, but also my hands and my head. It's like, I don't want to be far from you. I want to have every part with you. And Jesus said to him, anyone who is bathed needs only to wash his feet, and he is completely clean. And you, my disciples, are clean, but not all of you are clean. For he knew who was going to betray him. And for that reason, he said, not all of you are clean. So when he washed their feet and put on his outer robe and reclined at the table again, he said to them, do you understand what I've done for you? You call me teacher and Lord, and you are right in doing so, for that's who I am. So if I, the Lord and teacher, wash your feet, you ought to wash one another's feet as well. For I gave you this as an example so that you should do in turn as I did to you. And he says a little bit more about this in Matthew 20. So let's look at it. Matthew 20, verse 25. Matthew chapter 20, starting in verse 25 to 28. But Jesus called them over and said, you know that the rulers of the Gentiles dominate them, and the men of high position exercise power over them. It must not be like that among you. On the contrary, whoever wants to become great among you must be your servant. And whoever wants to be first must be your slave, just as the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve and to give his life a ransom for many. So we find greatness in leastness. And we tend to think of like the pastor being the high position of the church when it's actually the lowest, because he serves the flock. We have to turn that upside down that we learn in the world. And so we're called to serve in humility as well, like Jesus, even our enemies. But there's always a blessing in serving, isn't there? Verse 16, I assure you and most solemnly say to you, a servant is not greater than his master, nor is one who is sent greater than the one who sent him. If you know these things, you are blessed, happy, if you put them into practice and faithfully do them. Humility and joy always go together. Jesus is about to send them out as sheep among wolves, and this is his advice to them. Be humble. Serve. Become people of the towel. And that's for us too. Verse 18, I'm not speaking of all of you. I know whom I have chosen, but this has happened in order that the scripture may be fulfilled. He who eats my bread has raised up his heel against me as my enemy. It's from Psalm 41. It's like raising up your heel ready to kick someone, right? From now on, I'm telling you what will happen before it occurs, so that when it does take place, you may believe that I am he. I am the Christ. I am the anointed. I am the Messiah. And I assure you and most solemnly say to you, the one who receives and welcomes whomever I send, which will be them and us, receives me. And the one who receives me receives him who sent me in the same way. After Jesus had said these things, he was troubled in spirit and testified and said, I assure you and most solemnly say to you, one of you will betray me and hand me over. The disciples began looking at one another, puzzled and disturbed as to whom he could mean. One of the disciples, whom Jesus loved, don't you like that John identifies himself as the one Jesus loved? You know, when you get to heaven and you're like, hey, I'm Robin, and someone says, I'm the one Jesus loved. That's John. But it's also me. Okay, he was leaning against Jesus' chest, and so we have a better picture of that thanks to the video today. Simon Peter motioned to him and quietly asked him to ask Jesus who he's speaking about. Then, leaning back against Jesus' chest, John asked him privately, Lord, who is it? And Jesus answered, it is the one to whom I'm going to give this piece of bread after I have dipped it. And in researching this a little bit, that's kind of like the toast. Like, Jesus is the host of the meal, and the host would dip the bread as a toast or a way to honor or to esteem. And I can imagine Jesus' love for Judas in this, when he did it, and the compassion that he must have had in his eyes for Judas as he loved his enemy. So he's giving the toast to Judas. And it's also this picture of John leaning toward Jesus and Jesus leaning toward Judas, but Judas leaning away from Jesus and actually leaving. We need to be careful of our posture. Make sure we're leaning the right direction. So when he had dipped the piece of bread into the dish, he gave it to Judas, son of Simon Iscariot. After Judas had taken the piece of bread, Satan entered him. Now we remember way back in Genesis 3, Satan's been trying to destroy the seed of the woman since then. And here he is getting a foothold because he knows that he's going to be able to bruise the heel, but Jesus is going to crush his head. And Judas is the one who opened the door of his heart for Satan to enter. Then Jesus said to him, what you're going to do, do quickly. Now there are like 29 prophecies in the Old Covenant, in the Old Testament, of Jesus' betrayal, death, and burial. And all 29 happen within a 24-hour period that we're jumping into. And it's this betrayal that starts those prophecies being fulfilled. And we talked about last week how Jesus is a fulfillment to all these prophecies, and it's impossible outside of God. Verse 28, but no one reclining at the table knew why he had said this to him. Some thought, since Judas had as the treasurer of the group, had the money box, Jesus was telling him, buy what we need for the feast, or that he was to give something to the poor. After taking the piece of bread, he went out immediately, and it was night. So when Judas had left, Jesus said, "Now is the time for the Son of Man to be glorified. And God is glorified in him. If God is glorified in him, God also will glorify him, the Son, in himself, and will glorify him at once." So Jesus is looking ahead at this end goal. He knows what he's about to face, what he's going to have to endure, and he's got his eyes in the right place. Right? Hebrews 12 says, "For the joy set before him, he endured the cross, despising its shame." He knew, but he was strong in his identity and he was strong in his purpose. It takes faith to focus that way, to focus beyond. We have to walk in that kind of faith. Because this world throws a lot of things at us, but nothing greater than he can handle. Amen? Amen? Verse 33, "Little children, I am with you only a little longer. You will look for me as I told the Jews, so I tell you now. Where I'm going, you're not able to come. I'm giving you a new commandment, that you love one another just as I have loved you. So you are to love one another. By this, everyone will know that you are my disciples if you have love and unselfish concern for one another." So love becomes the plumb line. A song just jumped in my head from the 60s. I think it was Jackie DeShannon. "What the world needs now is love, sweet love." There you go. Inner workings of my brain. Okay. It's true, though. Okay, I know we don't have a lot of time, but question number 4, can we look at that? It says Jesus is giving a new commandment. If the old commandment in Leviticus was for us to love our neighbors as ourselves, what new standard is Jesus calling his disciples and us to? It says it's a new commandment. What's he saying?
Love each other as he loves us.
So the new standard is?
Love each other as Jesus loves us.
Jesus. So if I'm loving people as I love myself, what if I get up on the wrong side of the bed and I don't like myself very much? Does that mean that I don't have to like Patty today? No. And sometimes I don't love myself very well. I mean, it's great because we take care of ourselves, we feed ourselves, we want what's good for ourselves, and so loving someone else that way is a good thing. But he says, "Now I've been with you for 3.5 years, and we have the scriptures to know how he loved." He said, "I'm the standard now." That's why it's new. I think it's a great one. And I think that the best commentary on the Bible is the Bible. So how are we to love? Let's look at 1 Corinthians 13. This is a familiar scripture, but I want to challenge us to use it as a measure today. As we're heading out, we want to be obedient to the one who loves us the most, and we want to love like he loves. So 1 Corinthians chapter 13, starting in verse 4, love is patient. Jesus certainly is. Love is kind. Love does not envy. It is not boastful. It's not conceited, nor does it act improperly. It's not selfish. It's not provoked. That's a hard one. It's easy to take offense. It's not provoked. It does not keep a record of wrongs, even for your spouse, ladies. Finds no joy in unrighteousness, but rejoices in the truth. Love bears all things. It believes all things. It hopes all things. It endures all things. Love never fails. Love is never the wrong response. Ever. Verse 36. All right. Simon Peter said to him, "Lord, where are you going?" Jesus answered, "Where I'm going, you cannot follow me now, but you will be able to follow later." Peter said to him, "Lord, why can't I follow you now? I will lay down my life for you." Jesus answered, "Will you really lay down your life for me? I assure you and most solemnly say to you, before a rooster crows, you will deny and completely disown me 3 times. It's hard for me to end a chapter like this because I'm an optimist. So let's take heart. Peter will be restored later on in John after his denial. Because it's not until Jesus lays his life down for us that we are able to lay our lives down for him. He didn't have it in him yet, and that's okay. And just as Peter said here, I will lay down my life for you. He did. He did in Rome under Nero in AD 64. Tradition tells us that he was crucified upside down because he didn't feel like he could be crucified the same as Jesus. And at last, Peter was able to be where Jesus is in the Father's house, where he is today. All right, amen. I do encourage you, look through the one another's and challenge yourself. There are some that come very easy to each of us. Something different comes very easy. It's natural for us. But there are ones that aren't so natural. And so I challenge you to take that one to the Lord in prayer, just one at a time. One at a time, becoming more like Jesus. Because we do want to live like him, don't we? Amen.
Thank you, Teresa. Father God, we just praise you for Jesus. And we praise you for the word. We are so blessed, Father, that by the power of the Holy Spirit, that all of the accounts of what Jesus did for us and how he did it and the love that he had and the prophecies leading up to this. And so we are so blessed to know all of the things from you that you have done to bring us to salvation and to bring us into the covenant where we are not slaves anymore to sin, but we are saved and redeemed by our Lord. And we praise you for that. Thank you for Teresa and her preparation and how well she has blessed us. We ask you, Father, to be with little Grayson, that he will get well real quickly and that his surgery will be behind him soon, and that they can just relax and enjoy that precious child. So we ask you to continue to answer all of these prayers with your mercy and in your will. Dear Father, we thank you, Jesus, that you stand and intercede for us. We thank you, Holy Spirit, that you take our words and present them to Jesus and our Father in a manner that is acceptable to them. So just bless each lady here and bless all of the concerns that she has. Keep us safe and keep us healthy, and be with us and run before us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen.